Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about a possible new version of the Model Y that's shown up on the EPA website. We've also got quite a few comments from Elon Musk, a new version of FSD beta, a few updates out of China, and a handful of other items as well. Looking at the markets, obviously another tougher day today with the NASDAQ down 2%, significantly more than the Dow, which was flat. Tesla on the day down 3.6% to $766.37, which is only a couple of bucks above the lowest close so far this year. So obviously the movement there is predominantly macro related. We'll get into some of those reasons throughout this episode, but just something to keep an eye on as we go through this week. As we've talked about before, the Fed is meeting this week. That'll happen on Wednesday, or at least we'll get the outcome of the meeting on Wednesday. So that'll determine interest rate increases, obviously a 25 basis point increase expected there. I think the rest of the commentary accompanying that will be more determinant of how the market perceives this event. That'll happen 2 hours before market close. And again, that's on Wednesday. As far as other macro factors go, there are new COVID concerns in China. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the episode. Then, of course, there are other supply chain challenges. Costs are a concern, and Elon actually tweeted about that over the weekend, saying that Tesla and SpaceX are seeing significant recent inflation pressure in raw materials and logistics, and that they are not alone. Tesla was actually pretty significantly underperforming at market open, and some people, I think, assuming that that was because of some other Elon Musk tweets. I'm sure most have seen it by now. Obviously, it got a lot of attention, but Elon saying this morning that I hereby challenge Vladimir Putin to single combat. Stakes are Ukraine. He asked the Kremlin Twitter account, do you agree to this fight? Normally, I would say it's pretty clear here that Elon isn't serious about this and doesn't expect that to actually happen, but he did say that I am absolutely serious. So I guess that would contradict with my analysis, but I think Elon understands that there is not really any chance of this actually happening. I think Elon really just trying to highlight cowardice or something like that. Yes, it's a little bit unusual of a way to do it and can rub people the wrong way. Certainly, Elon is not in a position to be able to wager Ukraine. Take it in that way, it certainly could be upsetting. Personally, I don't believe that is the intent that Elon has here, so probably could have been phrased in a less offensive manner, but that's generally not Elon Musk's main goal. Anyway, back to that underperformance at open, I don't think it really had anything to do with this. I mean, maybe that puts a target on Elon from Russia, but I don't think this would outweigh helping out Ukraine with Starlink or some of the tweets that Elon has made in regard to rocketry. So it's not that that is an invalid concern, but I don't really see how this makes it any worse than it was before. In terms of the underperformance, I think the more likely culprit was that cost tweet. But like we had talked about last week, Tesla did just raise prices. In general, isolating out FSD, since that's kind of its own thing, I think Elon doesn't really like raising prices, or at least the reflection that that gives on Tesla. So I think he's highlighting those cost increases now to help justify those changes, even if they're not entirely the result of cost increases, which certainly Tesla is going to be seeing some of. I'm not saying Elon's making that up. I'm just saying that demand plays a major role there as well, and Tesla could take on larger cost increases without having to raise prices if demand was less robust. You also need to consider the order backlog, and Tesla needs to price for the future because of that backlog. So if they expect continued rising costs, they need to adjust for that in terms of their pricing right now. All right, moving on from Elon's tweets, one of the big news items this weekend was a new version of the Model Y popping up on the EPA fuel economy website. It is listed as the 2022 Tesla Model Y all-wheel drive, with a range of 279 miles. Okay, so new Model Y. The big question then becomes, is this the new Model Y from Giga Texas with 4680 batteries, front rear casting, structural battery? I think there's a pretty big split on people's answer to that question, so I'll share my thoughts here. Obviously, no way we can know for sure, but I think the best place to start is to compare efficiency metrics across some other Tesla vehicles. There aren't any perfect comparisons here, so we'll have to look at a couple. First, we'll pull in the rear-wheel drive Model Y, which obviously Tesla doesn't list in the design studio. And then we'll also look at the all-wheel drive Model 3 compared to the rear-wheel drive Model 3, or formerly the standard range. If we focus in on those two first, we can see that the rear-wheel drive Model 3 is a little bit more efficient, 132 miles per gallon equivalent combined city and highway, versus the long-range all-wheel drive at 131. They have the same highway efficiency, the all-wheel drive just a little bit less efficient in the city. Now, that makes sense. It's carrying around more batteries, carrying around an extra motor. Those things are offset a little bit by the increased energy density of the battery, with the all-wheel drive using nickel-based and the rear-wheel drive using lithium iron phosphate. So keep that in mind for context as we then focus in on the Model Y. First, the rear-wheel drive. We can see 129 miles per gallon equivalent combined city and highway here, and that number is actually quite a bit more efficient than the new Model Y listed here, which is 123 combined city and highway. The new version is worse on both city and highway efficiency. It does have a little bit more range overall, but again, lower efficiency, so more batteries and that extra motor, just like we had talked about with the Model 3 comparison. However, the Model 3 is much closer in terms of the efficiency of these two vehicles. What I don't know is if that rear-wheel drive Model Y is lithium iron phosphate or nickel-based in terms of the battery. If that was nickel-based, you don't get that same efficiency bump for the all-wheel drive version like we talked about with the Model 3. And that could be one reason why the efficiency spread is larger between these two than for the Model 3. If this new version were 4680 structural battery, front rear castings, wouldn't those things add a little bit more efficiency though to help close that gap? I would think so. And let's bring in here the comparison with the current long-range all-wheel drive Model Y. We know that one's nickel-based, we know that's a 2170, we know it has two motors. The efficiency there is 122 miles combined city and highway. And again, the new version here only 123, so very, very similar efficiency numbers. And you would expect this new one to be a little bit better in terms of efficiency because it does have a smaller battery, so less weight. If this had all the new improvements from Texas, I think that gap in efficiency would be much larger. Certainly, I would hope that it would be. So looking at all of this, my best guess would be that this new version is still a 2170 nickel-based cell, just with fewer cells. And my guess would be that Tesla would have this ready to go if they do feel like they need to pull that demand lever at some point. Having EPA certification for it doesn't mean they need to sell this vehicle. Teslarati also points out that Tesla has applied for another EPA certification for a different Model Y variant that was submitted on February 23rd. That version is not yet listed. I'm guessing that's the 4680. At that point, maybe Tesla reconfigures the lineup a little bit more and this makes more sense at that time. Or maybe again, it just stays off the menu for now. The thing that I will say that is possibly in favor of this maybe being the 4680 would be that, like we have talked about before, starting with a lower range version would likely allow Tesla to produce more vehicles while the 4680 is supply constrained during its initial ramp up. It's also probably worth noting that the Model Y vehicles that we see sitting in the lot at Texas, those do have the standard Gemini wheels. And if Tesla was not going with a strategy of minimizing the number of battery cells per vehicle during that initial ramp phase, then the other option that would likely make the most sense during a ramp up would be to produce the highest margin performance vehicles, which doesn't seem to be what we're seeing right now. So we'll leave the speculation there for now. Hopefully we'll know soon enough. Again, as I've said before, this is one of the things I'm most curious to see how Tesla handles for this year. We should get that answer within the next few weeks. All right, next up, we're talking about FSD Beta 10.11. Those release notes came out over the weekend. It's now started to roll out beyond employees. I haven't had a chance to try it out yet, but from the release notes, this looks like a pretty significant update. Too many changes for us to go item by item here, but Andre Karpathy and Elon Musk both highlighted the first point as particularly important. Tesla says that they have upgraded modeling of lane geometry from dense rasters, or bag of points, to an autoregressive decoder that directly predicts and connects vector space lanes point by point using a transformer neural network. This allows us to predict crossing lanes, allows computationally cheaper and less error-prone post-processing, and paves the way for predicting many other signals and their relationships jointly and end-to-end. Elon called this a particularly significant architectural improvement to Tesla AI, and Andre Karpathy described it as a GPT-like transformer that is now predicting the lanes and their connectivity. This direct-to-vector space framework allows predictions to be jointly coherent due to sequential conditioning and very easily used by planar due to sparsity. Excellent work from the team. My attempt at simplifying this is that Tesla is now building a predictive lane map in vector space in real time versus before kind of just going frame by frame, looking at the pixels in each frame to determine where the lane objects are versus those being predicted with an equation. That's what vector space is. That's what Tesla has talked a lot about doing now with vehicles or pedestrians moving objects in the scene. Tesla now doing that with lanes. So the predictive part is key. And then the connectivity or the cohesion part, that's constantly piecing this predictive map together. That's where the predicting crossing lanes comes in, and as Tesla says, there paves the way for many other signals as well. So, in an even more basic way, Tesla just has a better understanding of lanes and their relationship to each other now, and they're doing it in a more computationally efficient way. Another part of the release notes that I think is related to this is that Tesla does say that they are now modeling intersection extents entirely based on network predictions, no longer using map-based heuristics. A lot of other things to be excited about in the release notes as well, just one I'll highlight here. Improve the precision of vulnerable road user detections by 44.9%. Tesla says that that dramatically reduces false positives for pedestrians and bicycles, especially around tar seams, skid marks, and raindrops. So that should pretty significantly reduce instances of phantom braking related to those things, and obviously that's only one category of possible reasons for phantom braking. So I'm anxious to try it out. I'll definitely share my thoughts on that. And then the other update on the FSD beta, Elon did say that if this release goes well, they may drop the safety score requirement down to 95. I think that would lead to a very significant expansion of the beta. All right, next up, we've got a few updates out of China, as I had alluded to earlier. First, in terms of production, there are new concerns here in terms of COVID. China is attempting to keep cases extremely low. They've adopted a zero COVID policy. That's not new, but they're now seeing a spike in cases in Shenzhen and Chongqing. That has led to the halts of production at factories in those areas. Foxconn is affected, so Apple affected. Could affect some supply stuff for Tesla, hard to say on that. And the concern would be that if this were to spread, it could obviously impact production at Shanghai. That'll be rapidly evolving, but as I'm recording at least, Shanghai right now has only closed its school system. Another concern with China that has potentially increased here is cooperation with Russia. The Financial Times reporting today that the U.S. has told allies that China has signaled its willingness to provide military assistance to Russia after request from Russia. Obviously, if something like that were to happen, there could be potentially very severe consequences. One U.S. defense official, off the record, said that if China does choose to materially support Russia in this war, there will likely be consequences for China. Hopefully, it won't come to that, and that is not a new risk. Again, just something that is likely heightened here with this rumor. As for a little bit more positive news out of China, the latest drone video from Wuhua did capture the Model S, and I believe the Model X here as well, in the lot at Giga Shanghai. Now, that doesn't mean that Tesla's going to start producing those there, likely just getting them ready for sale in China. Hopefully that is good news in terms of the production rate on those vehicles. Next, we've got a quick update out of Germany. Tesla Audrey here sharing on Twitter that Tesla has added a new delivery option called Tesla Drop, and that'll allow customers to pick up their vehicle actually outside of delivery center hours just by using the Tesla app if they so choose. Adds some nice flexibility and definitely very operationally efficient. Next, we've got a couple of updates in U.S. politics. First, this one is from Friday, but U.S. senators did send a bipartisan letter asking the president to invoke the Defense Production Act to accelerate the production of lithium-ion battery materials due to foreign dependence on some of those materials. And we've also got an update from one of those senators on that letter, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who you may remember when we were talking about the Build Back Better plan, the EV credit. He'd made good points at the time about the union carve-out, but I think inherently just against electric vehicles. He said this Friday that, quote, "I'm very reluctant to go down the path of electric vehicles. I'm old enough to remember standing in line in 1974 trying to buy gas. I remember those days. I don't want to have to be standing in line waiting for a battery for my vehicle because we're now dependent on a foreign supply chain, mostly China," end quote. Now, I assume he is saying standing in line in a figurative way there. Not really the best analogy, but the point on dependence, I think, is a fair thing to bring up to be concerned about. But electrification is something that needs to be planned for, not worked against, because any delay in the United States in terms of electrification, that's only going to benefit China even more. That just leaves more market share open. All right, last items for today. First, we've got an update from Ford. They have been getting some concern from their dealers about their split business announcement. Sounds like after some discussion with Ford, those concerns have eased. Ford plans to give more details on how they envision this going forward during a meeting this upcoming Saturday with the National Auto Dealers Association. Ford CEO Jim Farley said, quote, "We're going to bet on the dealer franchise system. That's a different bet than I hear from others, but we're going to do it by asking them to specialize," end quote. He also added that, quote, "In the next 60 days, we're going to be out talking to all of our dealers around the world and developing a pithy list of standards for a new experience that's going to be better than Tesla," end quote. Well, we'll see how it goes. It seemed like splitting off the EV business could have been a way around the dealers for Ford, possibly. Maybe they still have some plans for that. We'll have to see. But doesn't really seem that way from these statements, perhaps just lip service to the dealers. But if they continue down that path, ultimately, I think that's a pretty big competitive disadvantage for Ford versus Tesla, even if they do come up with some ways to improve over their own current dealership experiences. Next, then, we've got some pretty humorous comments from Stellantis' CEO, Carlos Tavares. He said on Friday, quote, "I am very confident, I am trying not to be arrogant, just confident of the fact that we are going to catch up in the next couple of years with Tesla, and it's going to be a very healthy competition," end quote. We've talked about comments from Tavares before. I mean, in December, he had said that, quote, "What has been decided is to impose on the automotive industry electrification that brings 50% additional costs against a conventional vehicle. There is no way we can transfer 50% of additional costs to the final consumer because most parts of the middle class will not be able to pay," end quote. Also, a month or two ago, he had made the long tailpipe argument against electric vehicles as well. But somehow, Stellantis is just going to magically catch up with Tesla. I don't know, maybe I should do a ranked list of automotive CEOs. We certainly seem to have a wide spectrum here. The comments that I have seen from Tavares definitely lean towards one end of the spectrum on how that list would shake out. All right, lastly then, we have a regulation update. The United States has changed some of the language in terms of vehicle safety requirements. Manual driving controls are no longer mandated to be included in vehicles if the intent for those vehicles is for them to be autonomous only. Obviously, no real impact to Tesla right now. Maybe Waymo and Cruise would change some of their designs, but good to see that in place at least for when the time does come. All right, that is where we'll leave it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, March 15th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.